Session number 27049.
Homeworld Reel 4. We're talking about your time away, in South Africa. The HMS Venus was refitting between August and I suppose September 1945. What happened next then? You sort of rejoined your ship after your convalescence.
Well, we went back to after convalescence. Yes, we went back to Colombo because the war with Japan had ended while we were in Simonstown. And I got pushed ashore. And
now, were you still with the ship but detached ashore, or were you?
No,
you know,
I was divorced from the ship. They threw off all the higher demob groups and took on all the low demob groups that were already in Sri Lanka.
You went ashore at Colombo. Was this to HMS Maina or to what?
No. I went to a Royal Naval Air Station, which is called HMS Katakarunda, Katakarunda. I can see it. Let me see if I can write it down.
So, you were
3 miles down the road.
You were actually at HMS
Yucasa,
which was at Katakarunda. What were you doing? So you were based at HMS Yucasa and working at the RNF. What were you doing there?
In the WT office, which was underneath the control tower.
And what were you doing there?
We were doing some coding of sorts. Because it was a Royal Naval Air Station, it was an airfield. And across the airfield were all these different aircraft, Corsairs, Reliance. I've got some pictures of them upstairs in my book. And what they were doing was taking out the engines, crating them up and sending them back to UK. Then periodically, overnight, they towed the carcasses down to Colombo, stuck them aboard a carrier and dumped them at sea.
How many? I mean, was this lots of them?
There were lots of them, yes.
Did you understand why that was happening at the time?
I suppose the engines were valuable, so obviously they could use them back in UK or do something with them. And the carcasses, I suppose, the cheapest way of disposing them was dumping them in the sea. But when you think of all that valuable aluminium being dropped into the oceans, it seems a bit sad.
So what was your lifestyle like at Sitsalon?
Oh, great. Well, we did 24 on, 24 off, but I mean, we only worked during the day. We didn't do night duty or anything like that, so... every other day, there used to be a truck. We used to go down to Berrawala Beach, and then once a month, we'd probably take a truck and go into Colombo. Yeah, we used to go down Berrawala Beach, and at that time, it was just a beach with a freshwater lagoon just set back of it, with coconut palms in between, and it was absolutely super. Local woman would come down and she'd have coconuts to sell, a couple of rupees or whatever, pineapple, and she'd have a knife, she'd shave all the outside of the, and leave you with the pineapple on the bit of a stick, the stalk, which was lovely, but when you'd been in the salt water and then had pineapple, you got sore lips.
It sounds like an easy life.
It was an easy life. And I had 12 months of that waiting to get demobbed.
So that would be from September through...
Till the following year, till about September the next year. I didn't get demobbed till 1946.
And did anything happen, or was it just, routine?
No, just routine, But, of course, all you really wanted to do was get back home, but
now,
it didn't matter.
Did you really want? I mean, how did you feel about demobilisation? Were you getting edgy and wanting it, or were you happy there?
We were happy there, really. Life wasn't arduous, and we were getting fed and watered, and could have the odd runs ashore, and we had the odd trip up country.
Where would you go up country?
I remember one day we took a truck up to some waterfalls somewhere. I think I got a photograph somewhere in the album. And then we had a week's leave up at a sort of rest camp, a place called Diatalawa, which is up in the hill station, you know, in the tea growing area. Got photographs of Bonds I was with up there. Oh yes, it was quite pleasant, really. It's like a long holiday in a way.
So how did you demob? What happened was your demob approach then?
Oh well, I think I came back on a trooper.
Do you remember anything about the voyage? It's quite a long journey, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a long journey. It was a troop ship again. And the duty officer was a bastard. He was an absolute bastard. Nothing was right for him, you know, when he did inspections and everything. There were several blokes who, you know, muttered, you know, if ever I see him ashore, I should duff him up, you know. I just hoped he did get duffed up. Not that he worried me at all, but he was an absolute pig. And it makes you wonder how he got put in that position and somebody hadn't sort of duffed him up before. Perhaps they had, I don't know. Can't even remember his name, and I can picture him now.
And what happened when he got back?
Oh, well, I got back to Devonport. I spent 2 or 3 days there, and I got kitted out with civvy outfit.
Now, what did you think of the demob suit? I
mean, well, you could either have a suit or you could have sports jacket and flannels, and I decided to have sports jacket and flannels.
Now, why? Why? Why was that?
I suppose I didn't want a suit.
What was the quality of the clothing like? Is it any good or was it?
Well, it wasn't the quality that one would have today. I suppose it was adequate, you know. It's probably better than a lot of people could have afforded during the 30s, you know, when people were on short time and out of work and all this sort of thing. They weren't the sort of garments that would be long-lasting, put it that way.
So when did you actually get demobbed? Was it September 46, or do you remember the date?
Yeah, it'd be about September 46, I would think. I can't remember the date.
What were you to do? I mean, you know, you'd come out, you'd been in the Navy for a good 3 years.
Yeah, right? Well, I had... I think I had a week or whatever, 10 days or something, paid leave. And... I think I went up to see one of my aunts in Cheshire, and while I was up there, I went to Blackburn to see the mother and father of a chap that I was with out in Sri Lanka. I said to him, you know, if I get up that way, Frank, I'll go and see your mum and dad in Blackburn. And they made me most welcome. They thought I'd been the king and queen. You've come from our Frank, you know. very hospitable, yeah, very nice. After that, I went back to work at the place I left.
So, was there any problem about that?
No.
Were you still an apprentice, or had you qualified?
I could do anything by the time I'd finished there.
Did you ever think of doing? I mean, you've got another career option now. You could have gone into something else.
I didn't want a wireless. If I could have done a coder's job in Civvy Street, I would have gone for that. But where do you find a coder's job in Civvy Street? It's only a wartime post anyway. So that wasn't an option. So I went back to the thing I knew.
Were you happy there, or did you settle down?
No, I was happy there for 2 or 3 years, less than three. I picked up with my old mate prior to when I went in the Navy, and... he had a motorbike, and there used to be a gang of us. We used to go out Saturday nights all round Daventry, Weed and Floor area, and drinking and finishing up at Floor Village Hall. And oh God,
sounded like you were quite wild.
Debauched. Oh God.
What was your next job? I mean, well, why did you stop being a baker or confectioner?
Well. Then I met my wife. I was coming home. I'd been to a just after the war, old time dancing with Harry Davidson, Victor Sylvester was very, very popular. And I'd been to an evening dress do down at a salon. This is down at Franklin's Gardens, where it isn't there now. This is where the ballroom was, where the Saints play now. And I was walking back home, and Joy was walking in front of me, and I caught up with her. And she'd been to somewhere or other, and I said I'd been to this. I said, you'd like to come to the next one, you know? Yeah, I would. And that's how we met. And she only lived a few doors away from where I lived, but I never really thought of going out with her. But we did. And we used to do and go to sort of old time dancing places and dances in the town, and about once a month or whatever, we used to go down the salon to dress do. And eventually we got married.
When was that?
That would be 1948.
And it's about that time you changed jobs.
No. I took a job at Bognor Regis. And of course, just after the war, properties were short. You'd either got to live with your parents and you couldn't get property or whatever. And I had a flat that went with the job as a confectioner. I wasn't doing bread at all. I was just doing confectionery. And Joy, she was a teacher and she taught at the local school. And we never used to go down the beach in the summer months. We used to hate it when all the holiday makers were there. They'd all be in their shorts and costumes in Timothy White's and tailors and boots. We used to get on our bikes and go up to Goodwood and all around there. In the winter, it was lovely. And then I moved to near Horsham, still doing the same sort of thing. And eventually to near Huntingdon. And that's when... Jeff was conceived in Huntingdon and he was born in St Neots, a nursing home in St Neots. Then I moved to Cambridge. And then...
All this time a confectioner.
Yes, and all this time had accommodation with the job. And we moved to Brixworth. Well, Joy came home for a few days to stay with her mother at Duston. And she came back when we lived on the outskirts of Cambridge. She said, I've been into Northampton. There's a modern semi-detached house for sale at Brixworth. Right. Came to Brixworth without a job in order to buy the property. And I took another confectioner's job for 2 or 3 years or whatever. And then Barclaycard for advertising for mature persons. And I joined Barclaycard. And I had my last...
As what?
15, 16 years as a supervisor. And I finished up in the fraud prevention department.
In offices?
In offices, in Northampton. And those offices have been pulled down now. In fact, when I started, it was above the bank.
Now, do you think that your time in the Navy and your wartime service had any effect on you physically, mentally, good or bad?
It didn't affect me. I think. Oh well, of course, I grew up. I had to grow up immediately. I mean, from being a boy, country boy, I suddenly had to become a man in the space of a very short time. I didn't have a teenage youth as the youth today have. I mean, I had my good times, but it wasn't in the same sort of sense as it is today. I think it was good for me because you met all types of people and you can get along with almost anybody. I've always maintained that if I can't get along with anyone, it's not my fault, it's theirs. And I found that I can get along with most people. Joy and I, we both worked hard. We moved from Brixworth to Spratton, and then
the other point was when you came out. You said you'd been slightly wild when you came out, though. Do you think that was any sort of effect of the war? Or?
Oh, I suppose being inhibited, for the time I was in the Navy, apart from the odd runs ashore. It wasn't wild, but we were doing what young blokes did at that, the same as they do today.
So nothing untoward, really.
Nothing untoward, no, no.
And no physical effects.
No, not at all.
No problems.
Oh, now what I didn't mention was when I was on board the Cook, we're in the Atlantic. It must have been a rough sea. I was going on either the midnight or 4 a.m. watch. I was along the upper deck. I turned the wheel, opened the door to go inside, or was feeling for it rather, And somebody must have gone in just before me. The lights didn't come on, so he turned the wheel and took the top of my thumb off. Consequently, I went to the sick bay and I went ashore with my arm in a sling, and everybody thought I'd been wounded, and they were treating me to 3 pints.
It looks quite bad. I mean, it's at least a third of an inch shorter.
Yeah, the whole top came off. Because I was fumbling around in the dark for the wheel, and somebody must have gone in just ahead of me, and I hadn't seen them, because it'd be pitch dark.
Did it hurt?
I can't remember now.
Now, what the final thing is, do you stay in touch with any of your old comrades? I mean, I know perhaps you take this on to the Captain's Class Association and other associations. What associations, what contacts do you still have, and why are they important to you?
It's only in recent years that I've realised that, you know, these associations happened. So I belong to the North Russia Club.
What does that do for you? I mean, you know, why is that important to you?
Well, it keeps me in touch, you know, with what's happening, and you get the odd reunion when it's quite a nice weekend to have, especially when you're living on your own the last 10 years. Then there's the Captain Class Frigates Association.
Why is that? I mean, that's because of the Cook, obviously. Do you meet any of your ex-shipmates in it?
Yes. The Captain Class Frigates, the last time I went to Warwick, there were 5 of us, which was good. I mean, sometimes there is only one person from a ship, or there might be a dozen from some ships, it depends. There must be still some out there that we don't know about. But of course, there again, they're diminishing in numbers. They're all dying, you see.
Do you meet other coders? Do you talk to other coders?
No, I don't. I haven't met another.
From the other ships?
No, I've never met another coder, as far as I know. You tend to, well, at the reunions, although you chat to everybody else, you tend to be with the 4 or 5 that you know.
And do you remember them? I mean, you know them now.
Oh, yes.
But do you remember them from the ship?
Yes, I can see them distinctly. But Roy Tynan, he cannot remember me from the ship. Now, when I see him, he's changed dramatically. He's aged terribly because he suffers from ill health. And I think I'm more or less... Well, I don't suppose I am, but...
Is it important to you to see these your old shipmates?
Well, I don't know about important. It's quite nice to know there's still a link with the past.
Thank you very much.